so last week we started talking about drawing close to God. Everybody say drawing close to God. And we also spent some time talking about what happens, and maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you're experiencing it right now. I don't know. Because everyone is at some point, and they are either drawing close to God or they're either drifting away from God. In the spiritual realm, there's no middle ground. There's no neutral. You're either drawing close to God or you're drifting away from Him. And so I want to do some review, but the truth is, I just really want to today, you ever washed your car? You ever washed your car? You ever detailed your car? Okay. Somebody said no. Well, okay. How many know? Here's what I felt like. I felt like last week we looked at this, but today there were just some passages that I want to show you some detail stuff that's going to be a help, okay, that's going to bless you a little bit more. Amen. How many ready to get more blessed than you were last week? Okay. So we said our first point last week was this, that to understand if we are drifting away from God, we're drifting away from God, but we're drifting towards something else. Do you remember this? And maybe some of you missed last week, so we'll do just a little review. For those of you who caught last week, repetition is the motor of learning. So when you drift away from God, you are drifting towards something else. And Satan would not want you to understand that. Satan would lie to you and say, no, you can drift away from God and you just, it's okay, there's nothing bad out there. No, when you're drifting away from God, you're drifting towards something else. You're drifting towards frustration, hopelessness, bitterness, unforgiveness, impoverishment, sickness, disease, all because God is the blesser. All good things, the Bible says, come down from the Father of lights. Is that not what the word says? So when you're drifting away from the blesser, you're drifting, but you're not just drifting into nothingness. You're drifting towards all these other things that you don't want to drift towards. Does this make sense? So it's important for us to recognize the reality of what we're doing. We have to become conscious of what's going on in our lives. Many times we just live a life and we're not recognizing what's really going on. If you talk to people, you know what? So many people, they're completely unaware of the spiritual reality of life. How many know there is a God? How many know there is an enemy that we have? And in John, guys, put it up there on the screen. I got it, John 10:10. In John 10:10, this is Jesus. Jesus says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that I might give you life and that you might have it more abundantly." God wants us to have an abundant life. Somebody say abundant life. You know what? Again, I get frustrated by listening to people who don't understand, and they should understand. This is the Bible. Amen? Don't argue with me that God doesn't want to bless you. The Bible is crystal clear. God wants to bless you, and His will is that you be blessed. And He makes it clear. Jesus says it so clearly. What I've come is I come that you might have life and have this abundant life. What's an abundant life? It's a life full of peace, joy, contentment, direction, understanding your calling, and that you're here for to serve God. You're here to serve people. You're here to be a blessing to other people. It's a purposeful life, and you're not a Eeyore. You're not like when I used to go into the grocery store. You know, just full of Eeyores. Amen. You know, who's Eeyore? Everybody was an Eeyore. The management is Eeyore. You know what I mean? It's like, I was like, man, why don't you get some kind of motivation in your management? Amen? Because how many know it starts from the top? I'd be like, unbelievable. You know what? I mean, get them some good books. Amen? You know what? Get them a tape from Pastor Drew or something. Amen? Amen? But they were Eeyores. They were like, and what would that do, man? It all just comes from the top, and it all comes down, and all the employees, and you know what? And then everybody, most everybody coming in the store, hey, listen, that's not the life that God has for you, amen? I said, that's not the life that God has for you. That is a possibility. How many know you choose? You choose your attitude, amen? Yeah, but this and this and this and this and all this has happened to me this week. Well, praise God, you got a great opportunity, don't you? To what? To build character, amen? How many know you don't build muscles, you know what, when you're on your bike, you know what, going downhill? How many know no muscles are being built, amen? But you get downhill and all of a sudden you start pedaling uphill. Amen. How many know you are developing some muscle? Amen. So that's why James says, you know what? Consider it all joy. Because even when you have difficult situations in your life, how many know God is still for you? See, don't allow circumstances to convince you that God's not on your side. No. But we live on this earth. We have an enemy. We have to deal with stuff sometimes. Sometimes just life. Amen? But I come in the grocery store and every, you know, Eeyore here, you know, little Eeyore here, there, Eeyore there, you know, here, little, everywhere, Eeyore. Amen? Is that not right? Everywhere. You know what I mean? But you know what? But not in the church. I'll give you another chance to say amen, but not in the church. Amen. See, why? Because we have a covenant with God. We're not like they are. They don't have a covenant with God. They don't have a relationship with God. I mean, I understand why they're Eeyore-ish. I'd be Eeyore-ish too if I didn't have Jesus. Amen. But we have the one who blesses us, and he is constantly looking to bless us. Jesus right now, don't argue with me. Jesus right now is praying for you, amen? So we have the one who is looking to bless us. We have his word clearly that he has given us life and life more abundantly. That's the life that he wants us to live, yes, in an imperfect world. In a sometimes world that's full of frustration, but God is always looking to be a blesser. And that's why it's so smart to draw close to God, because the closer you get to God, the better your life's going to be. I'm going to say that again. The closer you get to God, the better your life's going to be. That is unarguable, according if you're going to listen to the word of God. Amen. 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 Why? Because God is a blesser. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to be blessed. In what area? All areas. Amen. Somebody say all areas. All areas. God's will, according to his word. See, and let's take it for a minute. What do you know? Thank you. Look at your neighbor with a smile and say, you don't know anything. Amen. With a smile, amen. Now, before you get on me for saying that, understand, let me put it in context. what I probably should have said is, you don't know anything except the Word of God. See, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. You don't know truth except that it's revealed to you from the Word of God. I proved this before, but I'll prove it again. We could go back to that clock right back there, and we could look at the second hand, and we could say, yep, second hand's moving, but we could look at the hour hand, and your eye could you could argue with me all day and say that, well, you couldn't argue with me all day, could you? But you could argue with me for 5 minutes that hour hand is not moving. Why? Because it's moving so slowly that it would take you 4 hours or at least 1 hour for you to see it moving. Does that make sense? What am I saying? That's why the Bible says, lean not into your own understanding. That's why the Bible says, the just shall live by their faith. The Bible says in the Old Testament. Their faith in who? Their faith in God. That just because things seem to be going in a direction doesn't mean that God's not working in the background, ready to turn things around.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
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 And what happens in the course of time through life, because of all kinds of situations, you got fired, you lost your job, maybe a loved one passed away, maybe, you know what, maybe, you know, your neighbor ran over your dog or something. Amen. Amen. How many know that can happen in life? Amen. And Fruffy was there, and now Fruffy is gone. Amen. Right? Now Fruffy is in the backyard, but you're gonna, you know, underneath the ground, you don't see Fruffy no more, and you're like, eh. But listen, don't allow those situations to dictate to you what's going to happen in your future. Amen. Can you say amen? And what people do is they get embittered. They get embittered towards life. They get embittered towards people. Amen. I'm mad at you, and I'm mad at you, and I'm mad at you, and I'm mad at you. And understand that the reality is that, you know what? I can bless you, but don't get your eyes on me. Amen? Amen? Yes, I got some macaroons for Mickey and her son. Praise God. Amen? But notice, I wasn't delivering the macaroons every week. Amen? See, how many know we can get our eyes on people and off Jesus? And our pastors, you know what, Tamara and I, we want to be a blessing to you. But don't get your eyes on us, amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Your husband, your wife. It's one of the reasons, you know, it messes up marriages all the time. You know what? And I'll marry people, and I'll see that. It's like, you know what? I'll see the guy. And they see the bride. That's, man, that's their bride. They're like, oh, you know, oh, she's perfect. No, she's not. Amen. And I'll see the bride. She's like, oh, man, this Mr. Wonderful.
Not really.
Amen. And so what you do, but what are you doing? You're getting your eyes. Or many, many people, they get their eyes on their parents.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
Amen. Your dad or your mom or, you know what I mean, your grandpa. No. These are people, and they might be good people. Don't get me wrong. But there's only one Jesus. How many know there's only one perfect one? And so when you draw close to that perfect one, that's where you're going to see the blessings. That's what, and his intention is for you to be blessed. That's what Jesus, the thief does not come except to steal. I've come. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I want these people blessed. I want them to have an abundance in their life. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? So we draw close to God, and we draw close to the one who will bless us. Amen?
Amen.
How many enjoying the air conditioning in here? Okay. You can go outside. You ain't gonna, you know, the farther away you get, the more cold, hot you're gonna be. Amen. Hello? That's right. See, why? Because you're drawing close to where the air is being blown. Amen? Let me tell you what. There is no one who blesses like God blesses. There's no one who loves you like God loves you. There's no plan for you like God's plan. And the quicker that you submit to his plan, the quicker that you lean not unto your own understanding. In what areas? In every area. Amen? In every area. Particularly, what's the two areas that we get tripped up the most? Finances and relationship. Amen? I mean, I don't care what, you know, Crosby, Steele, Nash saying. You know what I mean? Are you ready for this one? You know what I mean? They said, love the one you're with. No. Don't love the one you're with. You know what? You wait for the prince or the princess that God has called you to marry, and you marry that person. Amen? Can you say amen? Be anxious for nothing. Amen? You be patient. You wait. Amen? And if you're waiting for the perfect person, you know what? You're going to be waiting forever. Amen? Amen? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know what? You being, or finances, you know? I tell you what, I heard one guy tell me this. He totally thinks he knows what he's talking about. I'm gonna teach you how sin is deceptive. Say, sin is deceptive. And he said this. He said, you know what, Pastor? I got this plan. Well, boom, I know the problem right now. Did you hear it? He said, I got this plan. Here's my plan. My plan is I'm this far, I'm so much in debt that I cannot tithe. I cannot tithe. I'm so in debt, I can't tithe. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay off all my credit cards, and as soon as I get all my credit cards paid off, then I'm going to start to tithe. And you got a long wait, amen? Well, you said, Pastor, but I think that's, I had one person say, I had one person tell me this. I had one person tell me that their Christian financial advisor told them that they shouldn't start tithing till they get out of debt. Amen? I had another, this is all in a short period of time. I had another person, you know what? She's a single mom and who is a tither, and she said that another Christian from another church said that your pastor is wrong, that you shouldn't be a tither. See, how many of those things sound good? How many of you can justify anything? Let me tell you about the tithe. The 10% will sanctify the other 90%. That money that God, you know what, told those people in the Old Testament, make sure you don't take anything from this city. And that guy took some stuff and he hid it. Listen, you can hide your money from God. You can hide it in a checking account. You can hide it in your wallet. You can hide it all over. How many know? That's crazy. You ain't hiding nothing from God. Amen? You're not hiding anything from God. And you can listen to all kinds of people, your relative, you can justify. I had somebody told me this. This is a true story. I had somebody who was actually pretty experienced in the things of God. How many know, let God be true and every man a liar? And Megan, she was our youngest, and she had to get some medicine, and it was very expensive for us to pay for that medicine. Very expensive. And here's what that person told me. You just take that out of your tithe, because God knows what's going on, and that will be okay. How many know if you listen to enough people, you can get the answer you want. Hello? I had another person say, you know what? He had a skill, and he figured out how much he made regularly an hour, and he'd go to the church and donate his time, put it to a calculator, and then figure out how much less he could pay from his tithe. I'm sorry, just give me a second for dramatic says. See what I'm saying? You know what? We can do this all day long. We can do it about relationships. We can do it about money. We can do it about justification that our kids, you know, we don't bring our kids on Sunday and Wednesday. We're too busy. We're too busy to serve. We can't afford to tithe. All this justification, and all kinds of people will play into it. And I say, let God be true and every man a liar. I say, draw close to God. Do what he says. Because it is in the obedience of what God says that you're going to walk in the blessings of God. And let me tell you what, when you walk in those blessings, those same people will come to you later and go, can you pray for me? Amen. And then it's not the time for you to go, oh, let me tell you, you wicked carnal thing. You would tell me to do, I'm going to tell you, you don't get up. No. You are blessed in order to be a blessing. Amen. And I'm not talking about stuff that I'm not doing. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not doing. Can you say amen? Amen. You know what? All right. Number one, when you drift away from God, you're drifting towards something else. Jesus is the one who says, I've come, and my will is that they have an abundant life. That's my will. Turn to, let's do a little review. So then last week we saw in Genesis, we saw Satan's plan. Satan wants to say to Eve, first he wants to question whether she knows the Word of God. How many know, there are a lot of people who don't even know the Bible. Let me tell you why I don't read the Bible. I don't read the Bible every day because it's so hard to understand. Well, duh, amen. I remember when I was a freshman in that mighty academic high school, Pioneer High School, amen. And I remember, you know what, when I was a freshman, looking at the algebra book. And I looked at it like I could understand the first page. But the more I went to the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, you know what? And I was like, X over Y to the square of B. And you know what? I didn't understand none of it. Amen. Well, how many know that I wasn't going to understand any of it? I could have just said all every single day. Oh, you know, I could have gone up to the teacher. I'm going to do my homework. Why aren't you doing your homework? Because I don't understand it. Well, how many know you're going to continue to not understand the Word of God, or put it in a positive? How many know if you'll just open up your Bible and read one chapter with us, you'll start to understand it? See, God's not a respecter of persons. I don't understand the Word of God because I went to Life Bible College. You know this. I've told you. You know, when I was a senior, you know what? I walked across the stage. You know what? And I took that tassel and I put it on the other side when I graduated. You know how they do, right? And all of a sudden, the heavens opened up and I heard angels. And all of a sudden, there was just this anointed come down. Oh, on me. How many know I'm telling you a story? That didn't happen. Amen. How many know I was anointed to do what God called me to do when I was in the second grade at Tamaris High School in Palmdale playing tetherball? Amen. How many know that's true? And you know I was the tetherball champion. I told you that already, did I not? But how many know the anointing was there? What am I doing? I am every day, you know what? Looking into the Word of God and allowing God. God's not a respecter of persons. God teaches me every day, and God will teach you every day. Amen. And you're smart. Let me tell you why you're smart. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. He's the one who wrote that, and He can interpret that for you. Amen? Amen. And you'll come to me and say, Pastor, look, I can't believe, look what God showed me. This was so awesome in my life. And I'll go, yeah, He did. But He won't do that if you keep on saying, no, I don't understand this. Are you learning something today? So in Genesis, number one, we have to understand the Word of God. We have to understand, we have to know what He says. We're not going to know it unless we read it, unless we, again, watch this. It's not drifting towards God. It's purposeful that you're going to purpose yourself to draw close to God. How do you draw close to God? One of the ways you draw close to God is by reading His Bible. Reading His word, His testimony, His testament. He put that in you, in the word. You have that Bible. People have bled and died that you would have that Bible. Martyrs. Why? Because He wants you to understand. Well, you never know the will of God. You know, most of that trash is spoken by Christians. Never know the word of God. Well, that's ridiculous. The Bible wants you to know the word of God. That's why God gave it to us, amen? That we would understand, you know what, God's ways. Amen? Hallelujah. So, God says to Eve, you know, Satan says to Eve, you know what, do you know what the word of God says? She says, yeah, I do. We shouldn't eat, you know, this. Then he says, you know what, or we're going to die. And then he says to her the same thing he says to you. No. You can do whatever you want, and there'll be no consequences. That's the main thing I want to talk to you today. Smile at your neighbor, say, this is going to be good. Okay. There's no consequences. I can do it. No. God loves me. Yes, God loves you. But there's consequences to the choices you make in your life. Amen? The lie from Satan is you can reap, but you don't have to. You can sow, but you don't have to reap. That's a lie. How many know she believed that lie, and you know what? She did what God told her not to do, and she lived the consequence of that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Guys in the back, Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Look what it says. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. But Christ, as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of His hope to the end. No. Somebody says the Calvinists would say, no. You know what? Once you're saved. You can do whatever you want. False doctrine. It's not what the Bible says. I showed you this, and in verse 16, 14 says the same thing. Repeats itself. No. If you want to turn your back from God and walk away from God, you can do that. That is so throughout the Word of God. And it's right here. No, you're in the house if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm to the what? To the end. Next verse. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice. Everybody say today. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial of the wilderness. What's he talking about? He's talking about when the Israelites, you know what, said, well, you know what, we don't trust God. We're too busy looking at our enemies. We're too busy to go into the promised land. We don't think that God can deliver us. God just had delivered them from the Egyptians. And yet they're thinking that all of a sudden, you know what, let me tell you what, God has a mighty hand. Amen. Next verse, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Next verse. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray. What's that? In their hearts. Listen to me very carefully. Your actions are a revelation to what's going on in your heart. You know why your actions are so important? Because they indicate what's going on in your heart. And people want to say, no, my actions are irrelevant. My heart's really good. I just steal sometimes. No. I really love my wife. I'm just a fornicator. I'm just really pure to God. I'm just fornicate sometimes. I really love my wife. I'm just an adulterer. Guys, gals, there's something going on in our hearts. How many know that's the important thing? What's going on in your heart? And your action. Listen, we're not talking about legalism. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by who you know. Right? Jesus is the one who saves us. But if we have a true love for God, we desire to please Him. And His grace empowers us, say empowers us, to walk in victory. All right. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. They have not known my ways. Next verse. So I swore with my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What? Draw close to God, and there's this rest that He wants you to have. Peace that surpasses all understanding. How do you get that? You get that by drawing close to God. These people weren't drawing close to God. You know what? Moses was away just for a little while, and they started to figure out, let's think about this evilness. Let's take all our earrings and all our gold, and let's make a calf, and let's worship that. Man, how do you feel if you're God and you see these people that you have delivered acting like that? What is an indication? I'm just asking. Did they love God? Did they love God? Well, why do you say that? Because you see their action. Amen? Therefore, brethren, lest there be any among you, any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the, see it here, living God. You know what's an evil heart? A heart that doesn't believe in what God says. That's an evil heart. Yeah, but Pastor, I can't afford to give. Because if I give, I'll have less money. God says, if you give to the kingdom, you know what? He'll bless you and you'll be better off. I'm just telling you what God says. But an unbelieving heart is an evil heart. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. No, I'm good. I just don't ever do this. Pastor, you've been pretty upfront. You know what? People get upset when you start talking about money. Amen? You know why most people get upset when you start talking about money? You know why the church wants to shut the pastor down when he talks about money? And here's the irony. Here's the irony. You know what they want to do? They want to say, no, Pastor, that's all you care about. Is that all I care about? Or is that all you care about? Now let me throw some smoke in the room because it's getting a little too hot in here. Let me divert. It's you, Pastor. You. You're the one. I'm just telling you. You know what? No. Let me tell you about my heart. I believe. I put my trust in God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm not talking about words. I put my trust in God. I believe. I believe what the Bible says, that God will bless the tither. I believe that. And I don't just bring the tithe in. I bring the tithe and the offering in. Why? Because I believe in the system that God has in place. An unbelieving heart is an evil heart in departing from the living God. What are you doing? You're drifting away. And you're drifting away from the one who wants to bless you. God's commandments, let me tell you somebody, I don't know who needs to hear this. God's commandments are not burdensome. You are not, listen, trust God, amen. You are not going to be worse off. You are not going to be worse off. Your family's not going to be worse off. And understand what you're doing. You're not only doing this for you, you're doing this for your kids and your grandkids. Let me tell you what, folks. You listen, you are not just placed on this earth to be a plumber, amen? You're not just placed on this earth to be a nurse. You're not just placed on this earth to be whatever. You are placed on this earth. One of the reasons why you have your job is that you can bring the tithe into the storehouse. That, you know what, that Edgar's tithe and Rebecca's tithe and I know your name on the third seat. And Isaac's tithe. Tithe and Steve's tithe and Shayla's tithe, and you know what? That all of us come together and we say in Pico Rivera, hey, God is real, we believe this, and we're investing in the kingdom of God. That other people who don't know God, do you know how many people are sleeping in today and they don't know God? But they can come here and they see people with their Bibles and they see people with their notepads and they see people sitting up front and they see people, you know what, in a parking lot that's full, and they go and they trip out, and then we talk about the bringing in finances and we're not apologetic about it. And they say, oh my goodness, these people aren't just talking about God. These people really know their God and they trust their God. And we're corporately together saying, you know what, let me tell you what we care about. We understand that I'm only going to be here for a short period of time and I'm taking as many people with me. I'm taking as many people with me. I told the interns, I don't think you should say that. I don't think you should say that to the interns. You know, they don't got a lot of money. Oh, my goodness. Can I do it again? Listen, the tithe isn't about how much you have. The tithe is about you putting your trust in God. Amen? I need to tell the interns, you know what? Trust in God. I don't care if you have a lot of money. I don't care if you have a little money. Everyone has 10%. And everyone, say everyone. And you know what? There's probably not a person in this. You know, if I ask you, and I'm facetiously, but you think about it. You know what? How many people are saving 10% of their income? I keep your hands down. But if I asked you to raise your hand, there still probably wouldn't be anybody had their hand raised. What's that tell you? Here's what that tells you. It tells you that for most people in America, they live paycheck to paycheck. And God says, put your trust in me. And you give me 10%. Oh, God goes even a step farther and he says, wait. Don't give me 10%. That is mine in the first place. Are you learning something? What's my point? My point is, you know what? Our actions are indications of what's really going on in our heart. An unbelieving heart is an evil heart. Boy, that's a revelation. Amen? And how many know what the reason why you come here? The reason why you come here is to be confronted. Listen, if this is what happens, if you go, man, I tell you what, Pastor was on me today. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm gonna think that. Listen, you can do what so many other people do, and you can slip out the back jack. You know what I mean? And you can say, "Oh, I'm gonna find another church because that pastor talking about money too much." You know what I mean? I'm gonna find another church, and you can find another church because there are several churches you can go week after week, month after month, day after day. I told you this before. I'll tell you again. I listened to one of the biggest churches around. No, I know who what it is. You don't know. But I listened to one of the biggest churches in this area, and I listened to how they took up offering, and the person in charge said, God, bless those who give, bless those who don't give, and bless those who can't give. And whoa, 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 whoa. Don't anybody say amen to that. Oh, and how many know? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That sounds so righteous. That's pathetic. Amen. And let me teach it to you. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say, you know what that is? It's saying bless those, and it doesn't make any difference what they do. And that goes against all the principles of God. That goes against God's ways. These people, the Bible says in Hebrews that they were going against God's ways. No. Bless those who give. And to say bless those who aren't giving is ridiculous. But then to say, and bless those who can't give. Who can't give? No, but I can't give because I can't afford it. Wait, can you not give because you can't afford it? Oh, this is a good sermon, amen. Can you not give because you can't afford it? Or can you not give because you're out of control with your finances? And you have given so much. You have been anxious for nothing. You know, you go to the mall. Oh, I'm going to buy this. Oh, I'm going to buy this. Oh, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to have this car. I'm going to do this. And you know what? And Ford Motor Company will be glad to give you, you know, 486 payments of $439. You know what? And you're driving around in a Ford truck that costs over $100. You know, there's a Ford truck just recently. A Ford truck you can buy. A truck! You can buy that costs over $100,000. And Ford Motor Company will put you in that truck. You know what? And you'll be like, huh? And then you'll come in here and say, I can't afford to tithe. And then, actually, look at your neighbor and say, not you. And then, you know what, when the pastor brings that up, then you'll say, oh, it's so ironic. Then you'll say, all he cares about is money. Oh my, are you kidding me? No, what's really going on? Here's what's really going on. You know what? You are out of control. And you don't want, but you come in here, watch this, you come in here, and the word, you know what the word does? It pierces through the bone and the mire, and it judges the intent of your heart. Let me give you my version of that scripture. It cuts through the jive talk, and it judges the intent of your heart. And your flesh just wants to go. Pastor's so evil, and I am pure. Thank you. I think I will. You know what the Bible says? Can I go deeper? Please, it might hurt. Can I go deeper? Go to, guys in the back, go to 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 4. Hey, can I speak some faith over you? Listen, how many knew when you came in that I had both barrels loaded already? I'm asking, raise your hand if you said, I kind of knew it, Pastor. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand if that's you. Here's my point. Here's my point. Some of you being polite, you're not raising your hand, but I know. Here's my point. This is the truth. I'm proud of you guys because you guys know every single week I'm just going to say whatever the Holy Spirit says. And you know a lot of the times it's very confrontational. But you showed up today anyway. You know why you did? Because you didn't want your ears tickled. You wanted to be confronted. And you knew you were going to be confronted. And for those of you who say, Pastor, this doesn't apply to me at all, praise God, you still love this kind of sermon. Amen? Yeah. Because you know there's part of your heart can, because you know you can draw away from God too. Okay. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Next verse. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. Guys, go to verse 1. I got to go farther back. Go to verse 1. But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Guys, you can do whatever you want, and it doesn't make any difference because God still loves you, and everybody's going to go to heaven. Okay, that's the text that I'm reading from. That's why I have to give you context, okay? Secretly bringing into destruction heresies, even to deny the Lord who bought them, Calvinism, false doctrine. God buys everyone, even those who don't accept him. The blood of Jesus atones or is given to everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And brings on them swift destruction. Next verse. And many who follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You step away from God and think you're not going somewhere. You are going somewhere. You're going, where are you going? Towards destructive ways. Next verse. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceitful words. Oh, it's all okay. It's all okay. It's all okay. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Next thing you know, you're like, it's all good. It's all good. It's not all good. Amen. Good choice is good life. Amen. And for the long time, their judgment has been idle and their destruction is not slumber. If God did not spare the angels whom sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of the eight, a preacher of righteousness, bringing into the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. No. I'm just going to drift towards God. I go to church whenever I feel like it, and I don't tithe, and I don't forgive, and that's just in my, and I got a bad attitude, and it's all okay. It's all good, because in my heart I'm a good person. Please. Please. What you saw was an example to ungodly people to say, hey, guys, not that God doesn't want to redeem you. He does want to redeem. He wants to redeem everyone. Do you understand that? That's why they're an example to people who aren't serving God, aren't doing anything. He's an example. He's an example. Hey, guys, it's not too late. But there is a time when it will be too late. And you thinking that, you know, no, I got time, 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 I got time. And every single time you say no to God, in unforgiveness, in giving, in selfishness, in bitterness, whatever you got going on, every single time you don't humble out and get on your face before God, every single time your heart gets a little harder. It's a little easier for you to say no. That's the deceitfulness of sin. And many times you hang around all these other people. How many know birds of a feather flock together? And they all tell you, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, no, the pastor's legalist. That's a legalist. That's a legalist. And yet the word of God says to you today, no, let me tell you what. That destruction came to you as an example that you would turn from your ungodliness. Next verse. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going somewhere. And so look at your neighbor, say, he's going somewhere. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the 50 conduct of the wicked. How many know God can deliver us? Yeah. Next verse. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Raise your hand and say, God knows how to deliver me. Deliver the godly out of temptation and preserve. Can I tell you one of the reasons, one of the ways he delivers you? He delivers you by you coming to church and a pastor who will tell you the truth. Amen. It's a form of delivery. I'm going to know to deliver the untempted and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Watch this. And especially those who walk, watch this. And especially those walk according to their flesh in the lust of uncleanliness. Catch this. You need to say, pay attention. Lust, uncleanliness, and despise what? Authority. And you are a legend in your own mind. And all truth runs through you. And so you will, I don't believe this. Okay. So watch this. And they despise authority and are presumptuous, self-willed. I'm going to do whatever I think is right. They are not afraid to speak evil of, keep it right here, of dignitaries. I heard a man say this, that if he could teach anything in the body of Christ, he'd teach one thing, and here's what it was: honor. And we have a place where, you know what? We are living in a place we'll say anything about anyone. But yeah, but I don't like that president. Listen to me very carefully. Listen, don't judge this. Listen to what I'm saying. There's been presidents that I liked, and there's been presidents that I didn't like. There's been presidents that I thought were more according to the word and less according to the word. There's been governors that I thought were better than other governors, and congressmen and senators, and on and on and on. But can I tell you what? We need to watch it as we have a flippantness to just talk about people. And we do that, you know what? We can do that with our presidents, we can do that with our congresspeople, we can do that with our senators. You know what? Yeah, but well then get on your knees and start praying for them. Amen? How many know these people need prayer? They don't need another brick. How many know if they have a stronghold in their life, what Christians need to do is take away those stronghold bricks, not add to them. Amen? Is this making sense? And I'm not saying you have to agree with everything they say. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you're not like the world, and you shouldn't act like the world. You can have a difference of opinion, but you can respect the office. Yep, that's right. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
Yeah, but they're not. Ooh, they have the issue. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
I know this is tough, but I'm just the messenger. Amen. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Now, watch this next. It just gets, how many like the word? Amen? How many like the word when it slaps you around a little bit? Okay, this is going to slap you around a little bit for a second. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might, angels don't even do this, do not bring a reviling accusation. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what do you speak in your car? What do you speak in your bedroom? They do not, even angels don't bring an accusation against them before the Lord. Now, have I slapped you around enough? Okay. No, I haven't. Watch this. Okay. Watch this. Next verse. But these, like natural brute beasts. Okay, now I'll do it. Guys. Okay. Let's honor Let's allow the Word of God to speak to us. Let's make sure the angels don't do it. Who are you to judge? Let God be true and every man a liar. There's one judge. You know who it is? It's God. So this is his judgment. This is what he says. So all you need to do is just quote the word. Amen? I like what Joyce Meyer said one time. You know what? Joyce Meyer said that she was so convicted by a sermon like this that she said she made a commitment that she wasn't going to say anything unless it was, I forget how she worded it. She might have, I think she said, I'm not going to say anything unless it comes out of the word for the next week. She said that was one of the most quietest weeks she's ever had in her life. So, Pastor, why are you saying this? Here's why. Because I believe there's a casualness in our behavior that we have fallen into a trap of grace. How many know you can pervert anything and it becomes the wrong thing? And that trap of grace is a trap that doesn't understand that there are choices that we make. This is the Bible, guys. This is as much as the Bible as any other part of the Bible. And the writer, Peter, is saying, how many know Peter is not a novice in the things of God? And this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the writer of the Holy Spirit says, let me tell you about these people. These people, when these people are doing this, they are but these like natural brute beasts. Wow, that freaks me out. And that needs to put not only, can I tell you one of the actions that we need to be observant for, I believe the most, what is coming out of our mouth. Because that's where life and death is. You show me someone who speaks life and speaks blessing, and I'm going to show you somebody who's going to have a good life. Not only here, but forevermore. Amen? Hallelujah. Who's convicted? Raise your hand. If you're convicted, raise your hand. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your hand up. Father, I pray that this conviction would be conviction unto repentance. I pray that we just wouldn't go, oh, man, I've done wrong. But we'd say, oh, we've done wrong, and we're going to stop that behavior. I'm going to have a change. How many would raise your other hand and say, I'm changing my mind? Father, thank us. Thank you. Help us. Thank you and help us. And I thank you for, may this message be a blessing. May the words bless us. And even in the times where we have felt convicted, may that bring just a righteousness in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, I pray supernaturally, may we receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.